Well, gosh darn, it's about that time again. Lo and behold, I can hardly believe it. It's another Monday, I want to say morning where I'm at, Monday wherever it is in the world where you are listening to the Andy and Amanda show. It's the 5 o'clock somewhere show, meaning it's 5 o'clock right now in the UK where my co-host Amanda Love happens to be. Amanda, how are you doing?
Hello, sweetheart. I'm doing great, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine and dandy, and I can actually ask you because I actually know it's Monday as opposed to Wednesday and legitimately say, how was your weekend?
My weekend was very blessed, thank you, sweetheart. It was very, very good. Celebrated my father yesterday, as it was a year ago that he passed away, bless him. So, you know, The family were on video calls and stuff, and yeah, it was lovely connecting and talk about him and, you know, having that beautiful celebration of love for him. So yeah, it was good.
Wonderful to hear that. And again, I'm so sorry about your loss, especially being just a year ago, but there's one thing we all know for sure. And that, you know, loved ones and friends and dear ones to us, you know, die. And there's one thing that can never die, and that's the memories that they leave behind. And that's where we need to live on and cherish, and they'll live on forever. Yeah. So it's great that you were able to do that with your family. Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you. What about yourself?
I'm here.
Sorry, I cut you off there. What were you going to say, Andy?
I was saying, you know, I'm here. You know, I'm.
Today for me is a very good day.
Oh, excellent!
Thank you. Thank
Did you have a great weekend?
I had a wonderful weekend.
I'm happy to hear that, sweetheart.
You know, any weekend we get, you know, you do a little, you know. anyway.
Oh, you mean squeeze one out after you had a big meal? Okay, I get it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, it ain't easy being me. You know what I mean? It is.
Are we clear?
Very. Thank you. We are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We're very. Yeah, it's clear. Lot to talk about, man. A lot of. We had a busy weekend. We had the COVID relief bill passed, you know, a huge victory for our president, Joe Biden, just gigantic. And I'm so pleased. We'll talk about it a little bit later. And you know, I was going to say something else. Do you remember what I was going to say?
Hang on.
Hmm? Okay, thanks.
Let me concentrate.
Hang in there. Just wait. I was going to say something. It was incredibly important. And it was very sincere.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, I'm trying to give you the truth, but I just remember what it was at the time.
I know, right? It's okay, Andy. It's okay. There's no pressure.
I'm thinking. I got it. Thank you. You know, I have these mind. You start getting older. Do you ever, you know, you're just so much younger than I am, which is why I cherish you just so much. You know, and for those of you on the Andy and Amanda show, you must know by now that, or those of you that are new to the show, Amanda Cornell and I, we have never met. The three of us have never, ever met. We were all, you know, somehow put together by universe. We're on the internet. I said, hi. And everybody said, hi. Hey, you want to do a radio show? We're like, sure. Okay. No, but actually, we were all put together. Cornell, who's our show coordinator, really was instrumental in moving the show forward and bringing in Amanda and I together. And Cornell just, you know, behind the scenes there. And he is on the show for the first time, long time. Cornell, you there?
Woo-hoo! Yes. Hi, guys. How are you, man?
There he is. Hey, bud.
Hey, what's up, guys? Y'all ready for the show?
No.
Yeah.
Oh. No. I'm going to go back to sleep, right?
These people are sick.
You people are sick.
Yeah, you know.
But that being said, you try and bypass them.
Definitely. Yeah.
I had a bunch of Kona beers this weekend. I had a whole lot of Kona beers, and I had to go buy another case.
Perhaps
I got
a little bit lucky to get three of them.
That's a pause.
Guys, you know.
Just to clarify, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll answer the question.
You didn't ask the question. You first ask it. So anyway, Amanda, what is going on in the UK? Not that I care. No, what is going on in the UK this weekend?
You don't care. Okay, that's cool because I don't.
I do. I really do care. First of all, how's Prince Phil? How is our Prince Philip doing? Do you have any updates on how he's?
I think he's still hanging in there. Mm-hmm. I've not really focused on Prince Philip because everything else has been taking the spotlight with Meghan and Harry since the interview.
Yes. Did you catch that by any chance? Did you see it?
It's actually airing in the UK tonight at 9 o'clock.
It's great. Maybe we'll play some excerpts from that on Wednesday's show. Maybe we'll. I listened to it in another room. I was tied up at the time.
Oh, really?
Much too rough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, David Chester with Andy.
I really did want to catch it. I did catch some of the audio. I did. But I did listen seriously, and it was a great revealing interview. I mean, there's a lot of myths were dispelled and if you'll enjoy it tonight, and maybe we'll talk about it when you've had a chance to listen to it, being from the UK, on Wednesday's Andy and Amanda show.
That'd be pretty cool, actually, because they're just given like the summary of the things that were discussed, and you know, you don't really get the full picture. But of course, that's brought up like so many other different areas, like talking to Harry's best friend about his mental health and the state of things there when they were here in the UK. And, someone connected to Prince Charles and his relationship with Harry and how he's not racist. And so there's so many cans of worms opening up over this, which we all expected, let's face it. So it's going to be interesting to see what develops now, what the palace think about everything. But I'm so eager to watch that tonight just to see what else is being said. I mean, Meghan coming forward about suicidal thoughts and stuff, that's very brave. Very brave, bless her. So, that's going to be interesting. Very interesting.
It was. You're going to like it. I know it was. I did catch, as I said, quite a bit of it. And I think we'll talk about that. Because it would be great to get your perspective from the UK, obviously. More than mine, you know. They live not too far from me.
They're in California, aren't they? Right.
This is we are the Andy and Amanda show. Did I say that yet? I'm not sure if people know where they're tuned in. Who are these fools? I mean, who are these people?
I'm hoping they know by the title.
This is the Andy and Amanda show, folks, and welcome to our program. We are heard and have followers in 15 countries around the world. That number is growing. And also, I think I told you we have Italy, Germany, a growing audience in the UK, growing audience in Mexico. We're in Turkey. We're in Russia. We're in China. We're in South Africa. We're in Peru. We're in Colombia. We're in Brazil. We're in, just all over the place. And I want to thank
Andy,
our
don't
listeners.
Forget Mars. We also in Mars. Also.
We are. Do you remember we play Mars? Yeah, we are in Mars. I actually held a component of the module that's on Mars right now in my hand. In my hand, I held that. Imagine something a little larger than a golf ball that cost our government over $50,000. I held it in my hand at JPL when I had a VIP tour a couple years ago.
Wow.
So cool. Well, you know how I am about the space program. And I forgot to, I don't know if I told you or not, but I'm waiting for responses to when. But I've been invited 90-year-old former astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who was the second man on the moon.
I am Buzz Aldrin, and I was the lunar module pilot on Apollo 11.
5, 4, 3, 2, Juan.
Waiting to line that up sometime. I'm not sure when it's going to be, but he's a phenomenal artist and painter right now, and has done some incredible landscapes of what his experiences were when walking on the moon, accompanied, yes, of course, by the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. And as we said earlier, you know, it's amazing with all the conflict and the little are fighting and the conspiracies, a little thing back and forth, and yeah, between, you know, supposed right-wing extremists and liberals and name-calling and bullying, of course, propagated by the administration the last 4 years, but we won't talk about that, yeah, right now. But anyway, it's amazing when you think of all that and where we've been living, and then you look back what we were able to accomplish, what our species, what mankind was able to do.
Some way, when those two Americans stepped on the moon, the people of this world were brought closer together.
By putting a man on the moon, by these missions to Mars, by having people live in space. And here we are on this planet going, yeah, 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 yeah. It's just unbelievable. And I think we've all focused our attention to the marvels of possibility, the marvels of what can be, what can occur in the future, what the human brain is capable of doing to benefit all of us. And we live there as a planet, as a world, all in the same place. Can you imagine how the world would be different today? And the breakthroughs that we would be creating on a regular basis all the time. And here we are, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, just unbelievable. Like, grow up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? But some people like to live in that world. You know, some people, you know.
I'd rather enjoy it myself.
Well, I don't care. You know,
I've met a few people who do enjoy it, you know. No judgment. But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
We get all hung up on little things like, you know, what's appropriate today and ID and, you know, people saying,
another,
you know,
man's rhubarb.
I love that guy. I do.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I so rudely interrupted you because we're talking this, the news and things that are important in our world and our society that we need to talk about and. You know, we need to, and I've been...
Well, after all, what you just said was quite important, Andy, let's face it, you know, the current state.
What you said was, it's very important. We have that clip somewhere. Anyway.
Well, okay, so COVID cases are dropping still, which is great, and they're throwing caution out there at the moment. In fact, the Prime Minister has been live since 4, so I think that's still going on with live updates. They don't want people to jump back to normal too quickly is what they're saying, is because even though the rates are going down, they're as low as they were in September now. So we're reaching, you know, a decent level. But of course, all the children have gone back to school today. That's our first stage of coming out of this lockdown.
That's so fantastic. Yeah, my daughter in college has been doing classes online in an apartment in her room. She's a first year in college, and she's sitting in a room in New York across the country, has an apartment, you know, one person per room. She's got a great big room there, but still bigger than a room here at home. But anyway, she's been sitting there doing classes on her computer and then doing all her studies and what I guess one would consider homework or whatever, you know, her after class studies on her computer in the same room, not being able to do anything. And that's been her entire experience of college so far. And today she's able to start attending some classes. And I think, you know, we're starting to see some, you know, we're headed in the right direction. And
bless her.
So
that's
you're going
quite an unusual first year.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God, yeah. You know, and that, you know, part of the college experience, we all, you know, the classes and all the academics and furthering your career and who you are and developing, blah, blah, blah. But part of that experience, you know, is you know, the life away from home, away from your parents, away from the friends you've had since kindergarten and into this whole new world and everything that goes along with it, you know, a college life. And it's a shame when you go to college for your first year and you're sitting there in a room on your computer. And that's your whole life. I'm like, huh?
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. I feel for them, truly.
I went to college in Daytona Beach, Florida. Can we talk? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember too much about the college, but I remember the beach a lot.
There was no beach near my college, so, you know, you got one up on me there, Andy.
Hey, listen, you know, I forget, you were not vaccinated yet, correct, Amanda? You were not?
No, according to everyone, I'm going to be one of the last ones to be vaccinated due to my age, I think, and health. So, you know, I mean, I did receive that text. I told you I received the text from the doctor's surgery.
Yeah.
And say, oh, yeah, yeah, vaccines, you know, they're going to be happening, blah, blah, blah. But there was no date, and they said they would inform people when, you know, you were invited to have a vaccine. My mother had her vaccine yesterday.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, bless her. She had it, I think it was like 4 p.m. And
What time was it again?
It was about 4 p.m.
Wait, four in the afternoon?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, just want to confirm that time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, four.
You know, we have to get to the serious part of
Of course. Mm-hmm. So, yes, yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so
stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar, disgusting, whatever the case may be.
I apologize.
Mm-hmm. yeah, okay, Andy. Yeah.
They're like, yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So, yeah, she came back. I said, how you doing? She said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, you're not worried, are you? She said, no, not really. And she was holding her arm a bit, and she said that today it feels dead down the one side. And I said, well, that's natural. You know, there's been a lot of reports of that. And last night she woke up in the middle of the night with feeling extremely hot. She felt sick. But she's pushing through it today, bless her. She said, you know, nothing's going to keep me down. And I admire her. And she's just happy that she's had the vaccine. So, yeah, she's doing good, bless her. So,
send her our – I want to get your mom on our show. You know that. We tried to wake her up one morning, I remember.
You know, I would love to get her on.
At 3 in the morning. Remember we did a show at 3 in the morning your time, and I wanted to wake your mom and get her on the show?
Yes, mm-hmm. I remember.
I really wanted to do that. There's nothing I could do from 8,000
miles away.
I told her about that the next day.
I told her
you
about
did?
It. She's like, yeah. She's like, there's no way you're getting me on that show. I was like, oh, mom.
We need to get Amanda's mom. Listen, you know, watch for the ads. We are going to get Amanda's mom on the show. I'm going to do it. If I have to call her personally, if I have to drag her on. I want your mom on
hey,
this
Andy,
show.
Andy.
I need to know who the mother is of this incredible, you know, bright person who is my co-anchor on the show in the UK.
Aww.
I need to know who brought her into this world. Now we need to get her on the show.
That's very
yes.
And after that,
sweet.
Andy, we have to get your mom on the show.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
My mom has been begging me to get on the show. Begging
really?
Me. Every time I see her, Andy, when can I call in? Call in where? What are you talking about? Your show. My what?
I see. So you're the one putting her off, huh?
I am. And all, yeah,
oh,
I'm,
okay.
I'm trying to.
Why is that?
My mom's going to come on the show. And oh, boy. Don't ask her any stories about me.
Oh, you know that's
our
inevitable, right?
Question we go back.
Yeah. Can we talk? Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You know,
I'd love to speak to your mom.
Well, you know.
Give this man a beer.
I need one, thank you.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so,
hey,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, go on.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. You go on, mm-hmm. I insist.
No, you go.
No, no, please. Mm-hmm. I know you go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know. I wish everybody who's gone back to school good luck and not to stress too much. I imagine there's going to be a lot of stress right now amongst the kiddies and the teachers and stuff. And
yep.
Just say that. Oh, it's also International Women's Day. Woohoo! Yeah. So I'm a woman, you know? Very cool being a woman.
I actually like
sometimes.
Women much more than I like men.
Good to know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, our Prime Minister has said to comment on it today. He said that the burden of childcare and homeschooling has fallen disproportionately on women during the pandemic. And his spokeswoman told reporters he was keen to hear from women in business how flexible working could continue beyond the pandemic. And he's hosted a virtual roundtable discussion with senior female business figures this morning and said... It was not unreasonable to ask questions about the PM's attitude to women, given some of his past comments and work as a journalist. Ooh. So, Mr. Johnson, you've said some things, huh? Be interesting to know what he said. But, yeah. So, Happy International Women's Day to all the fellow women out there. You know, yo, we rock.
You do.
Thanks.
We wouldn't be here without you.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. But it takes two to tango, right?
You have to make time for sex.
Say that. I love when you talk like, yes. No, no, you're right. No, really, in all seriousness, that's fabulous. I didn't know that. So I'm you know, being the sensitive new age guy that I am, you know, we'll acknowledge that. And we should do so. I wish I'd known we would have prepared something more commemorative of that on the show, but I didn't.
I only woke up to it today. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, oh, yeah, no. It's International Women's Day. Okay, fair enough.
No, it's great. That's great. That's great. Well, you know, here, a couple of things. First of all, you know, as you know, my entire immediate family and my mother received her first vaccine. She'll get her second next week. But the rest of my entire family here in California and my daughter in New York, we're all vaccinated. And we're beyond the 2 weeks since our second. We had the which vaccine did your mom get? What did she get? Do you know which one?
As far as I know, it's the AstraZeneca one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We don't have that here. But I got the Modelo vaccine.
Okay.
No, wait, it's not Modelo. That's a beer.
Moderna. Right?
Moderna, thank you. Yeah, I got the Modelo, you know what I mean? Does this thing working?
You know,
is this working? Can't tell anything yet. I'm waiting.
It's like
right
to me to start with, Andy, so don't put yourself down. I was just like, No.
I got the Moderna. You know, I'm clear, I'm good, and and speaking of that, I want to say a few things about that, and that is that the do's and don'ts of, because you have about over nine percent of the U.S. population has now been vaccinated thanks to an incredible distribution program. It's been accelerated. We have leadership in the White House. Things are starting to happen in this country. You know, we're on the right page. We have the relief bill passages, you know, and we have a new administration. It's just over a month old or so. You know, just unbelievable. What a relief. Anyway, the CDC has made the following recommendations for folks that have been vaccinated, and we're going to talk about that just for a second so you know. And this would apply to our listeners around the world, wherever you are. It wouldn't be any different for anybody, no matter where you are in the world. And here's what you can do if you've been vaccinated. Actually, my notes say, here's what Andy can do. Okay. Okay. So you can visit other vaccinated people indoors without masks or physical distancing.
Okay.
We like that. Okay. Visit indoors with unvaccinated people from a single household without masks or physical distancing if the unvaccinated people are at low risk for severe disease. Skip quarantine and testing if exposed to someone who has COVID-19 but are asymptomatic but should monitor for symptoms for 14 days. Are you getting all this, folks? I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're taking notes.
Wow. This is a lot.
But here's the other side of the coin. People who are fully vaccinated, they still need to take some precautions, obviously, in many life scenarios. And using, you know, some guidelines, and I think it's important to adhere to some guidelines, that remember to wear a mask and keep good physical distance around people who are not vaccinated or who are at some, you know, to whatever extent, increased risk for severe COVID-19. Or if the unvaccinated person obviously has a household member who is at higher risk, an elderly person who has some underlying conditions, blah, blah, blah. We all know about that. And also wear a mask and physically distance when visiting unvaccinated people who are from multiple households. So, but we're getting there, and the numbers are, we'll talk about the numbers later in the show as we always do. And you're right, Amanda, they are, you know, significantly reduced. And, you know, on the show, I remember we were talking about 4,500 people in a day, human beings, human lives, moms, dads, daughters, sons, uncles, aunts, friends, colleagues, whatever, human beings, human lives, you know, a day, you know, 20, you know, I remember going on a Monday show and saying, you know, it wasn't too long ago, you know, Monday show. And we would say, you know, we talk about this. We'd say, you know, by the end of the week, on Friday show, 25,000 human lives will be gone that are living right now today. 25,000 will be dead, gone forever, the end of the week. And And I'm so glad that we have this, you know, that we're tackling this thing. I mean, and it's not over yet. And what I've seen here in L.A., I mean, there's a lot more traffic now. People are out now. Of course, there's patio dining. That I think, and this includes myself, I must say, I've been feeling, I don't know, with a sense of well-being, just the overall better sense of well-being than previously we were experiencing. And this is just my interpretation, that I think we're kind of lulled into an extent, the sense of security where, you know, things are, you know, I'm out more. I'm the more people are in the roads. I was down looking at boats the other day and, you know, people are out and, you know, you're stuck. I was stuck in the highway. I was going to go to San Diego the other day and I turned around because it was too much traffic and San Diego's not far from me. And I felt, believe it or not, and there I am going 17 or 19 miles an hour on autopilot in my Tesla. Anyway, so I wasn't really driving, but my car was doing 17 to 19. I was going for the ride, but I was like, you know, I was glad to see it because I had zipped up and down the coast and zipping here and zipping there with like, you know, this is how LA should be, you know, like, wow, this is a great, you know, instead of 45 minutes to the beachside, it was like 30 minutes or 20, you know, and I'm like, well, this is just incredible. This is so great.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in traffic and you know what? I was loving it. I was like, people are out. People are doing things. They're coming, they're going, they're visiting, doing whatever. And then I was thinking, wait, whoa. I hope we don't see a sudden bam, you know, a whole skyrocketing of cases again because of this. And I might be wrong, you know, and I could be very wrong, you know, and you know, I hope I am. I hope we don't see it, obviously. But just in terms of the perception that people are getting now because things seem to be coming down there, you know. Speaking of, and we're going to, we have some great guests coming on our show momentarily too. So folks, we're going to dive back into movies and what's it like to be on set and making films and producing and editing and being an actor and doing auditions and what's it like on set and how good is the food really. We're going to talk about all that in just a few minutes with a guest. So hang in there and don't touch that dial. What was I going to say? You remember? Oh yeah. what was I going to say? Oh, let me think.
Being back out. Yeah.
Yeah, people are back out, and the COVID relief bill passed, and what a great Joe Biden, bam, you know, he pushed this thing, and not only did he push this thing, but I got to tell you something. Thank you, American people. We did it. We did it. You know, we did this. People responded. They went to their legislators. They said, we need this relief. We need this help. And the American people did this bipartisan, cross lines. It just shows, again, what you know, we know what we need. We know what it's going to take to move this country forward. God damn it, we did it. We did it. We did it. And we're not done yet. We're not done doing it. You just stand back and watch what we're going to do. We've only hit the icing on the cake, folks. Just watch what's going to happen. You watch. But what I want to do is just play a clip. It's kind of interesting because a reporter in the press pool at the White House kind of tried to evoke, whichever, Donald, you know what I mean, Donald Trump, you know what I mean? So during a press conference, I want you to hear the press secretary's response. This is kind of interesting. Take a listen.
On vaccines, you know, the president has been pretty critical of the prior administration's handling of this pandemic, saying you inherited a mess here. But when it comes to vaccinations, you are following some of the same playbook here. So does the prior administration deserve some credit for laying the groundwork?
Which ones are we following?
Well, for instance, former Trump HHS Assistant Secretary Admiral Brett Giroir has said that you're following 99% of the playbook they created on vaccines. He has said that the prior administration deserves more credit here for at least getting the ball rolling on some of these.
I don't think anyone deserves credit when 500,000 people in the country have died of this pandemic. So what our focus is on, and when the president's focus is on when he came into office just over a month ago, was ensuring that we had enough vaccines. We are going to have them now. We had enough vaccinators and we had enough vaccine locations to get this pandemic under control. There's no question, and all data points to the fact that there were not enough of any of those things when he took office. We are open-eyed about about the challenge we continue to live under, and that's why he has been focused every single day and doing everything possible to get the pandemic under control. But those were there were shortages in all those areas, which were preventing us from moving forward on getting the pandemic under control. Go ahead.
You know, interesting. Yeah, it's great. Great. And that reporter, by the way, was I'm drawing a blank on her name. God darn, I'll tune in. I'll come back to you on that. But anyway, she was in the White House press pool for the last 4 years, too. It was excellent. She was great. And I'm just drawing a blank on her name. I hate when that happens. But anyway, just interesting. What I want to do now is we're going to follow up further on this subject. And I've got some talking points that I want to address for sure. So don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to jump back to this. But more importantly, and also a lot more fun, I think, we're going to – we have some people. There are some people, for sure. Yeah. No, we have some people. We're going to
– Two amazing guests.
We're going to bring – two amazing guests. Thank you. I think – do we have – did I hit the right buttons here? Hello? Are you with us?
Hi. Andrew.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, welcome to
How
the show,
are you?
Guys.
Thank you. I'm waiting for my
Andrew,
Jake
and
on.
Is Jake
on? Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, welcome, darling. We're doing good. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no, it's a true pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
I was love hearing you talk about the donut. What was it, the beer that you were drinking that you thought was vaccine? I drank for years, and I only got sicker. But, no, that's funny.
Aww.
I know. I hear you.
I could do a beer right now, I tell you.
it ain't easy being me. So, folks, if you have guys, I think one we have father and son, right? Jake and
yes, yes.
Terrific. And Andrew, yes. One does acting, right? I think the dad, I think Andrew, you've done acting work. You've been in this film, I guess the film that just was released, correct? That we were talking about previously before the show, just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm primarily an actor. I write a bit and produce, but I'm an actor. Jake's the behind the scenes whiz, the director and great writer.
And where are you? And you guys are in on the East Coast, correct?
Yeah, we live about an hour and a half or an hour or so outside of Philly, but I'm from Havertown, Pennsylvania, and I think Andy,
oh my gosh,
I think you're from
graduated Lorraine High School. I'm from Marion.
Oh my. I went to Haverford High School. So yeah. So
oh my gosh.
So that's real close to where we grew up. But
yeah,
I was
13 when my family moved to Meeting House Lane, right off of Montgomery Avenue there, Albrecht's Flower Shop down that way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right there. Yeah.
Wow. What a
neighbors.
Small world.
Neighbors. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Absolutely neighbors.
And then the last place I lived outside of Philadelphia before moving to LA was, do you know 309 Paper Mill Road up that way?
Yeah, sure.
Right there in Springfield Township. Yeah, I lived there for 14 years. Or something like that. Yeah, wow. Anyway, welcome to the Andy Demander Show, folks. Let's talk about your movies and your projects. Let's tell us, speak. And by the way, this is Andrew. Unless somebody didn't make it clear, we may have earlier, but it's Andrew Hunziker and his son Jake Hunziker, both acting and producers, directors, have just completed a film, which is in the Garden State Film Festival. Now we're going to talk about that. But tell us, guys, what's been going on? What are you guys doing? What's exciting in the world of film production out where you've been involved in?
Well, I'll start, Jake, and Jake and I. I wrote a script. I'm 57, and I wrote a script in the year 2000. My wife gave me an idea. She said, "What happens? I've always been interested in what happens when people who sell their soul to the devil have to give it up." And
that's a
pretty cool premise, right? So mm-hmm. I started to write a script around that premise, and it's called The Arrangement, I had some success with it. You know, I had a couple of options over the years from 2000 to 2013. And my son, Jake, who's on the line, when I first read it, was like 7. So it basically, I tried to get it made, through the conventional way, tried to get an option and have all the Hollywood money flow into me, and I just couldn't get it done. So I started to act in 2013 when I was 50, and when I was doing the work, I noticed that a lot of the stuff I was getting, really, I thought my script was better. And I thought, well, maybe try and dust this off and do it again. And I ended up getting another option. It was Steve Bing in L.A., Shangri-La Productions. And that went for 18 months. They actually paid me a little money, but not a lot. And then once that ended, they didn't pick it up again. And I look around, and I'm looking at my son, who's already started to do his own films. And I'm like, boy, I got a director in the house. You know, I mean, so
that's amazing.
So it was a perfect situation. So, and Jake's a much better writer than me. So we went through and tore through the script and updated it. You can imagine the technology changes in the last 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So so a lot of it was that, and also a lot of character development. And we hooked up with a bunch of film family around here in Philly. Jennifer Kay and Danny Donnelly and Amy Teresa, a couple of friends of ours, and we started to get this done. And it's so happy. It took 20 years from gestation to release, but it was finally released just last year or late last year. It's out on demand, and it stars Eric Roberts and stars Brittany Amber and stars, like I said, Jennifer and Danny and Amy. Brian Wilson, a bunch of people, and we're just as happy as could be. But the thing I'm happiest about is Jake directed it, and we were able to produce it ourselves, and it was a real family affair. In addition to Jake, my other kids were involved as well, so it was fantastic. Yeah,
that's amazing. How did you feel, Jake, taking on the project?
Well, it was definitely an honor. I'd grown up with the script. I remember when my father wrote it, I was about 7 years old. So he wouldn't let me read it till I was, he wouldn't let me read it till I was about 13. And I remember, as I read it, I thought it was amazing. And so I started doing my own films, and eventually, we talked about doing the film ourselves, and really it was just awesome to work with him and everybody else we had established good working relationships with. And really it was just a blast to shoot and everything. The whole production was great.
I got to say, I watched the movie. I was very impressed, very impressed. I love the storyline. I love the plot. I won't give any too much away to all our listeners because I really urge you to watch it. But, that whole take on selling your soul to the devil, that is so fascinating to me because, I think that idea has been around for so long. People's had that idea of, does it really exist? Does it happen? And, you hear all these horror stories of that actually happening. And so my take on the movie was I really enjoyed it. I loved the spin that it was, to the police department. And I noticed, if I may say this, there's a part where the lieutenant went to that lady and she had the arrangement t-shirt on. I thought that was a great spin on it, a real great spin to see that in the movie. And that she mentioned Jake. Was that based on you, Jake, or was that just...
The character, not as much, but it was definitely kind of an inside joke, a film inside a film, the arrangements. It was, because we actually, a couple of the characters' names were actually named after me and my siblings. There was Jake Harris and the character of Melissa and the character of Jessica. And the character of Nick Devlin. So, that was kind of a nod from my father, I think, when he first wrote the initial draft.
I love it. I love it. I really did enjoy it. And I recommend everybody watching it. That must have been such an amazing feeling to, when it's taken this long to put something that you've been passionate about and actually have it see the daylight and people being able to view it and see all your efforts and, the passion you put into it. The similar situation happened with Hugh Jackman with The Greatest Showman, and he worked on that for 10 years to try and get that out there. And it must be so beautiful to achieve that, and you must be so very proud.
I am.
And actually, it's funny you mentioned the father and son thing too. Actually, and not to compare ourselves to David Fincher, although the film itself, we were really influenced by Seven, his movie. But he actually ended up directing a script from his father, Mank, this year, which was kind of cool to see that as well. But working with Jake, he's better than me, and he made it better. And working with him and my family, too, and also my film family, it was so gratifying. But filmmaking is a very, very tough business. It's a grinding business, but the kind of business that you just love so much that you just keep going because you're so passionate about it, as you mentioned before.
That's amazing.
But it was something else.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy that it's out there, though. That's a great achievement. I'm very proud, boys. Very proud.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are too. It's hard to get them out and to have people respond to it now, and come back with some just great feedback and a lot of positive feedback. It's really gratifying. Hopefully it takes less than 20 years before we make our next one. But
I hope so. I'll tell you, folks, the film is called The Arrangement, and we have both Jake Hunsaker and Andrew Hunsaker. Jake was the director of the film. Andrew is a writer and actor in the film. And both of you did the screenplay together, I'm assuming. The film is something that you folks have to watch. It was in the Garden State Film Festival, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it. The film, basically, without going, you know, I want to give it away, but it's about detectives, and these detectives investigate some mysterious deaths, and it's intriguing and suspenseful, and you know, it's
it really is.
Yeah. So it's called, again,
my
Arrangement. And where can one see this? Is this available where on Netflix, or is this a Hulu, or where can one see this?
Not yet on Netflix or Hulu. It's out on demand. So if you have Comcast or Verizon or Cox Communications, it's on those platforms. It's actually also out on DVD through Amazon and Walmart and a couple other retailers. So that's where you can get it in North America. Globally, we're inching through to different territories out in India now. If you have friends in India on a platform called MX Player, that's incredible. Please, on MX Player, you can go and actually watch it for free because it's with advertisements. We haven't gotten to the UK yet. Now, Amanda, I'm sorry, but we're going to get
there. Oh, that's okay, darling. That's so okay. I'll let you off. But I'm sure our UK people over here would love to see it, and I'm sure they will get to see it. And like you said, it may be a way to do that hopefully soon. So it's good to put the word out here, because I think the movie deserves it. It deserves the praise. It's really well done. I really, really enjoyed it.
It does. It's good.
It's by Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts.
Yes.
He plays the pitchman, and he's the overarching villain. We had him in the film, and we did it with a lot of Philadelphia actors who were phenomenal in our area, Philadelphia, Jersey, New York. But we were able to get Eric, brought him in from LA, and one of my favorite actors of my generation. And I know Jake absolutely loves him, and to have him come on with all that talent, experience. He just was, and the nicest guy, but just an incredible acting machine. And he really captured the character. It was something else.
The cast. We've got Eric Roberts, Brittany Ember, Deborah Twiss. I came out to LA. Do you guys, by any chance, knowing Philadelphia, Edie Rodney Robb in Philadelphia, the Actor Center. Either of you know?
Ring a bell, but I can't.
Edie Robb is probably one of the most prominent managers in LA, also in New York. She represents the caliber of actors that are bringing in $250,000 a week. She's in that level. I met Rodney Robb. And she represents like the star of Hamilton and different, you know, and so forth. But they have their company is called Station 3, I think it is, Station 3. Anyway, and her son, who I know, do you remember the movie, what was it called? Christmas Carol? No, not Christmas Carol. Christmas Story. Christmas Carol's Scrooge. Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol is a classic.
Do you remember the movie Christmas Carol? Let me think. Do you remember the character Schultz?
Yeah.
Who said, I double dog dare you, I triple dog dare you. Remember?
Yeah, of course, yes.
That line. Well, their son played that. He was a kid who played that part. But he now is more involved in writing, producing. He just had a major film picked up called The Mermaid. It's being shot or just completed being produced up in Canada. What they do, it's kind of interesting. I'll tell you why I'm talking about this in just a second. But he produces, he takes ideas and produces pilots, film, and you know, does, you know, a lot of them with, you know, you throw enough out there, one gets picked up and your life changes forever. And he had one picked up by ABC called The Mermaid, and bam, up to Canada they went and shooting The Mermaid. I don't know much about it outside of that. But here's the interesting thing. I met Rodney, and Rodney is responsible for many, many, many careers who you see of major, what you might call, quote unquote, stars today when they're child actors, just breaking into it. Rodney got them into it, trained them, got them commercials, got them their first work, and now these folks are in their 20s and 30s, John Gallagher, and I mean, the list is pretty extensive, Aubrey Plaza and so forth. So I met Rodney Robb, and what I do, and what most of our listeners know, is Amanda and I, when we're not doing a show, I play music professionally. I have a 28 career playing thousands of shows all across North America and Europe, and recording records and playing festivals. And there in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Folk Festival and Penn's Landing and Welcome America, I've done all these different shows in Philly, but I've played all over the country. And I'm a guitar player, that's what I do, and a former pilot, that's another story. But anyway. So that's what I do. And I met Rodney Robb, and Rodney grabbed me by the arm one day. I was down at his studio, and I met him, and he said, "Hey, did you ever think about doing TV commercials or TV shows?" I'm like, "Huh? Anything you want about the guitar, I can." He said, I want you to come. I want you to come in. I want you to come into my office. I got some ideas. Shay, you know, come see me. Okay, Shay. So I went to see him, and he said, "I want you to come. I do this TV commercial class. And I want you to come my guest. I want you to come and be my guest at one of my classes. We put everybody in front of the camera. I want to give you a script and see what you do. You're going to give me a what? What's a script? You know? So I went, and, you know, it's a whole big, like, a circle of actors. Some from, like you were saying, some people who have done, you know, quite a bit of work in Philadelphia and blah, blah, blah. And he hands out all these scripts, and you sit down, and then you go out, you leave the room, and you pair up with who he told you they assign you another person who I didn't know, and you look at the commercial, whatever it is we did, and I have this line, you have that line, here's how we'll do it. Then you go back in on the camera, and you do it, and while everybody's watching, and then when everybody's finished, they show all the film clips of everybody's commercial. So I come on, everybody's laughing. I thought they're laughing. I'm like, why are they all laughing at me? What? Come what? What? And then as we all leave, Rodney grabs me by the arm and says, "You exceeded my expectations." I'm like, "Thank you. Great to meet you. Goodbye." And then I ran into him about a month or two later, and he said, "You never came back to my class." And I'm like, I'm not going to go to acting class. I'm not an actor. He says, "You have a scholarship to my school. I want you to come in and be my guest, and I want you to sit through this." So I did a couple of more. This is really funny. So I came in another time, and I did a commercial, a solo deal. And when I'm finished, the first thing Rodney asked the whole class is, "What did Andy do wrong?" I'm like, huh. I told you I wasn't an actor. and somebody said there was no slate. And to me, a slate is the things you put on your walkway when you go up to your front door. You know, the slate. That's what... So I had no idea that, for those of you who don't know, ready? Here we go. A slate is you say, "Hi, I'm Andy Kimball." That's a slate. And then you go on with your audition line or whatever it is. So they knew, when they play it back, they knew who you are. I had no idea of that. But anyway, so long story short, I got to California. Rodney introduced me to another director. The guy says, "Hey, I got a role for you." And I do the show called, I show up. This is my second week in Hollywood. And there I am driving up to Disney ABC in Burbank. At 6:30 in the morning, and the security guard has my name, gives me a photo ID, gives me a parking space, They feed me this amazing breakfast buffet, and there I was off to do a show called Family Tools, which lasted 7 episodes probably because I was in it. And then I did like the whole second this season 2 of Asylum with American Horror Story. I played I played a mental patient for all the right reasons. They were debating whether they should let me out.
That's in my wheelhouse, Andy. No patients on these guys. That's my end of the field.
So here's what I thought. I was back in Philly visiting, and an agent called me. As a matter of fact, remember, you know Diane Heary there in Philadelphia?
Heary? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Sure. So they were doing a casting for a movie called the Rocky Creed.
Yeah.
Movie. Yeah.
Of course,
so anyway, yeah. I was involved in that. It was a winter gig for me. Just, you know, no major thing, but it was recurring. And I had the idea of in California, before I went back to Philadelphia, of doing this because I'm a guitar player. You know, I'd never taken an acting class in my life. And at that time, I had done about 12, 13, 14 TV shows and various things. I was in like New Girl. I had some lead roles and some indie pilots and some projects. I don't know anything about acting, the business, zero. I'm watching this thing, not as an actor or an actor wannabe, but I'm watching the whole process as a fly on the wall, like a tourist who gets invited to go on set to see what it's like to do a movie, but I actually was in it. And so I had this idea, and I was doing a pilot for a TV show that got picked up called Silicon Valley. And,
Wow. Okay.
And they didn't have me on the show for all the right reasons. But anyway, I was in the some kind of pilot for it or whatever it was. And I was there and we were between takes and I was like leaning against the wall with my foot up against the wall. And I'm watching, as you guys know, and I didn't know, all the people that were involved. When you see a 5-minute scene or less in a movie, folks, or TV show, that crew and those actors could be there for 12 hours. You just wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm watching, and half the stuff you see on TV, let's be honest, maybe more than half is crap. I mean, some of it comes and goes, and you can a lot of the actors, that you can take them out of one show and put them in another show, and they all kind of have the same. I mean, today, it's just a lot of the – I don't know. I don't watch much TV. So I was thinking, as I'm watching all the people behind the cameras – and the very few people in front of the cameras, the actors, and then the stand-ins and so forth, I said to myself, how did all these people get to be here doing like Jake, like Andrew? How did you get to be and do what you're doing? And you made this major motion picture that's going to be distributed around the world, that's making headway in film festivals, and you were there and you got it done. Like, how did you get to do that? And you look at, there's somebody, you know, who's having dinner in Podunk, Iowa, and they start to go watch TV there after dinner, and they sit down and watch TV, and you wonder how many people watch TV and think about, how do you do that? Like, how do all those people, not just the people in front of the camera, but the people behind the camera? So what I said to myself was, the cameras are faced the wrong way. The story here is not the actors in front of the camera. The story is the lives of all of these people and the actors. And how do the actors get to be the actors? How did you even get to do that? And a story plot came, like I got flushed with this idea. I got to make a TV episodic called Casting, where we examine a bird's eye view of the acting in the film business as seen through the eyes of emerging actors and producers and casting agents and managers and blah, blah, blah. So I went to Philadelphia. And I started it. Bam, bam. I started this TV show. I got the whole 10th floor of the Boris Building. I got the Chickies and Pete's gave us the restaurants to do sets in. People are giving us more sets. I got bowling alleys. I got casting. I got all this stuff that people are giving us. So I started doing this. And, you know how these things – and then I went back to Hollywood. But anyway, but we had 167 film clips. But to me, like you were saying, how hard it is to make a movie, how incredibly – I mean, all the technical issues and the auditions and the greatest thing I liked about the audition, I played this character named Steve, and I had this live-in girlfriend in this TV show, like an artsy sculptor, you know, flannel shirt, long hair. And when we put the breakdown out there on Actors Access, I had, I think, 167 women that wanted to be my live-in girlfriend. I'm like, this business is okay.
The power of TV, right?
Unreal. Like, here I am, you know, you're this guy, you know, and you know, guys and girls are on Match.com and all these things. The hell with all that. Just go be in a movie. But anyway,
it is an attractive bunch of folks you get to work with, and they're very talented. And how you do it is a little help from your friends, right? I mean,
yes,
we had a great bunch of folks who helped us. And in terms of sets, we had a very small crew. We had like maybe six or seven people, one of which was me and obviously Jake. But it was a run and gun production, but people were committed. It's funny you mentioned that. You mentioned Aubrey Plaza. To get a little tie in there, Danny Plaza is Aubrey's uncle, and he's local, and he's in the film.
Yeah, he's a police officer. He's
Danny
a police
Plaza,
officer.
He's a Philly cop. Yeah, yeah. And and in fact, he gave us a little bit of advice on some things too. But I was in a couple things with Danny. But doing it is just you really together with passion and commitment and collaboration, right, Jake? You got to have a lot of people.
Absolutely, it's definitely the most collaborative art form, really, I think, out there.
How did
really,
you guys tell? Tell us, because this is what I was just talking about. I think it's intriguing also for a lot of listeners, because we have had, you know, actors on the show and producers. And as a matter of fact, we have a C1 who is a video production and film person. C1, are you with us? He was. All right, anyway.
Yes,
okay, good.
Doing?
Yeah. Yeah, C1.
Hey,
welcome to the show.
What's
C1 is a... He's a video producer and film producer in Philadelphia and is joining the show. But anyway, Jake and Andrew, tell us about, you know, from day one, you wrote this screenplay and this story, you know, a while back, and it took all this time and energy. Can you walk us through the process of how one comes up with this idea and then bam, there's a movie? I mean, you don't snap your fingers. We know that. But because we've talked about this and we've had questions come to us, we've had callers and emails, can you take us through the process and talk to us a little bit about behind the scenes of how these things happen?
Yeah, well, it's just it's definitely a strenuous process in terms of just really everything. I mean, you want to make sure the script's entirely right before you move on. I mean, even though you'll find yourself making adjustments later to it anyway, even though you think it's done. Beyond that, you have to cast people and make sure they're the right ones. You try to get your dates down initially. You know, you want to get them set in stone and get people to agree to them. You have to secure locations, which is always a pain in the ass. But we were able to kind of, you know, I was able to leverage a couple things. Like I had a college professor who let me use a TV studio at, like, on campus. So I used that for a couple of the scenes with the senator. But really, it's organization. And it's just it's really just organization, honestly, and hopefully, you know, commitment from everybody involved in the project, because really, I mean, if somebody drops out and you've already filmed something and, you know, you have to scrap their part in the film or you have to go back and rewrite. So it really is just being as organized as possible before you start anything and making sure that people are really on board with your vision and what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And how about getting it funded? How about the funding?
Well, in our case, we self-finance this for the most part. Typically, that's not the route I would recommend for a lot of filmmakers. It's hard to do, but usually you can try to find maybe like grants or maybe like, you know, GoFundMe campaigns. I've seen some friends of mine that are filmmakers use GoFundMes. And they've been, you know, relatively successful, at least at, you know, getting maybe half their budget or a quarter of their budget. But we financed this one ourselves. So I can't give you too many tricks in terms of that.
Unbelievable. And what projects do you have coming up now? What's on the boards?
Well, I have this is a screenplay that I've been writing for a little while. I kind of shelved it when we decided to start working on the arrangement and, you know, retooling that script. But I have one. It's another thriller, and it's basically about a group of independent filmmakers that are trying to shoot a horror film, and they basically go beyond they basically trespass on private property in a heavily wooded area. And essentially, the cops are called, and basically someone dies, and it turns into almost like a guerrilla warfare battle between a couple police officers and an independent film crew that are trying to escape. So that's what I'm working on right now. I also I always have different short films I'm working on, and then I'm also in talks to direct a pilot of a potential series. These guys, some good writers came to me with this idea, and I'm not going to give away too much of the plot, but I'll tell you, they sold it to me as Boogie Nights meets Breaking Bad. So that's all I'll say.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's intriguing.
Wow. Fabulous. Fabulous. And how long did it take you to do the film, the arrangement? How long of a process was that?
Well, we probably started, you know, lightly preparing for it in the sense, like, when we really decided we were going to commit to doing it, it probably took at least a year and a half of really kind of like trying to get money together, making sure everything was good for that, starting to cast people, which wasn't as difficult as you would think sometimes, just because we know so many great actors around the area. So we were able to kind of, I had a pretty clear idea of who I wanted from, you know, from the beginning. But I'd say a good year and a half of preparation. It took like, I think 16 days to shoot. And all in all, with like post production, like it was at least probably 8 months, and that's mostly because, you know, like, yeah, you come back, you think you anytime you're editing a film with somebody and you think it's done, I mean, you always end up finding something. I swear, I watched the film 1,000 times, you know, and you'd still find something that you wanted to adjust or change, and it really is a seemingly endless process. It feels great to honestly be done at this point, even though it was such a great experience, but it really was. Like, I still, like, wake up in the middle of the night, like, wait, is it done? Like, is there anything else I have to do for this film?
Well, wow. You know, yeah, it's a grueling process, I'm sure, and it never ends. And I think what you said earlier nailed. I mean, there's a lot of things somebody can do with their life and professions that they – or jobs, whatever it might be, or careers that they can pursue. And I think the industry that you serve, and I think you continue to, and I think of course we wish all the very best with this film, and it looks like you're into it, and it's one of those professions where it's not what you do, it's who you are, you know, it's who you are, and
yeah.
And you get
yeah.
And it's just this driving passion that and all the best to you with this. I mean, it's so great to see and to hear. You know
absolutely.
What you've been able to accomplish and what you're doing. It's just absolutely fabulous, fabulous. And again,
thank you so much.
It's Jake Husaker, and I want everybody, all of our listeners, just to check out the movie, look at it on the internet, see if you can download it. It's called The Arrangement, and we'll put a link to it on our website. And you know, we aim to please, and you know, it's a small world we live in. Especially, you know, again, we're talking to an audience around the world right now, and then our podcast is repeated many times in all the, you know, iHeartRadio and Pandora and iTunes and all these different places, and our distribution after the live show. And by the way, folks, our live number is 515-605-9888. If you want to chime in and be part of this conversation, you can talk about whatever you want to, but we welcome you on board. But anyway, on the podcast, obviously you can't call in live. It's recorded, but we do have quite a network of distribution channels that will be hearing this and hearing you and hearing about this film after this conversation is long past. So we just want our listeners, whenever you're listening to the show, to definitely check out The Arrangement on the internet. See where you can download
it's
it so you can watch
worthy.
It. You will, yes. And you will enjoy this film. And what's cool, if I can say this, I think I'm saying this without being a spoiling anything. It's one of these where somebody gets killed. I mean, not pretty much. How do you pretty much get killed? How do you pretty much? Somebody pretty much gets killed. Not really. They kind of get killed. They don't really, you know, they kind of get killed. Somebody gets killed. Then you see the life and the image of the next victim. Is that okay to say without spoiling anything? Yeah. Okay, I can.
No, definitely. That's fine.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Anyway.
But it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So you've got to see this film. And so let me ask you a question. Before you did this film, you were doing acting work yourself or production work, or what led you into doing this?
Not really acting. I actually had a small cameo in The Arrangement. I was one of the prisoners towards the end of the film. My background really was more, I was more of a writer to start off. I mean, I have always been a huge film nerd, film fan. And I've always written, stories, and I got into script writing pretty young. But my background was more of writing, and I always kind of studied different directors. I was always, on sites like No Film School, and I was always trying to, learn stuff on my own. I took a class or two, in school. I kind of just wanted a well-rounded, director, but really my background really was writing. I can act a little bit. I'm not, the actor my father is by any means, but I'm definitely from a writing background.
That's amazing.
That's terrific. And again, your dad is
a job as being an actor. Yeah.
Yeah, he's he had an obligation. He had to leave the conference call here a little while ago because he told us he had a prior appointment that he attend to, so he's not on the line right now. But I'm going to ask you another question. Do you get out to L.A.? I mean, have you been out to L.A. and been networked at all, or kind of done any connections out in Hollywood?
Unfortunately, I have never been to L.A. I'd like to go. I have a couple friends who have been there, have lived there, and everybody tells me I should just get out there one of these days. And I'm nearing that point where I'm kind of just drop everything and go to L.A. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
no, not yet though. I have not been to L.A. I'd like to though. I'm sure I'd like it.
There I have. I've traveled extensively. I've been. Domestically, especially internationally a little bit, but domestically I've been everywhere, both as an airline pilot and also as a touring, more so as a musician than a pilot. A pilot, you see the airport and a hotel, but as a musician, I've toured a lot and been to a lot of places and have just been, wow, that's cool. And, take out my little Sony Walkman recorder and walk through the streets of Aspen. The next day you're watching a space shuttle go up on a beach in Florida and, just taking in the world that we live in. And I got to tell you something. After moving to Southern California, I hate every time the plane takes off. I can't wait till it lands again back here. The people, the traffic, whatever. I got to tell you, folks, if you have not been to California, this state offers so much. The people are for the most part, and there might be some folks that debate me on this, but my experience being from the East Coast my whole life, my experience in L.A. is that it's a more, even though it's a big city, people are kind of the umbrella here. The overall feel is more laid back, a little more community oriented. You're talking with somebody like we're talking now, and so he says, hey, it's really cool that you do that. I know a person that's working on this or that can help you with that. Let me give you their info. I'll put you guys together. And just, you're doing that? Wow. I know somebody who does that. Let's meet for lunch tomorrow, whatever. And that's been my experience here. And, I'm 30 minutes from the beach and I'm 10 minutes from the mountains. You can go, I know people who've just, just because to say they've done it, have skied in the morning and gone surfing in the afternoon.
That's amazing. It's funny you mentioned Southern California and L.A. I have a good friend of mine lived out there for about 10 years, and he's a musician, a stand-up comedian. He does a bunch of stuff. My buddy Carl, we were out one night, and this guy was trying to argue with him about why he didn't like L.A., and he was, the guy was trying to tell my buddy Carl that, he didn't like L.A. And Carl was like, what, do you hate basketball? Do you hate pretty women? Do you hate good weather? Do you hate mountains? Do you hate beaches? He was like, how do you hate L.A.? And it was just a really memorable conversation.
You're from Philadelphia. My experience, here's what is not in L.A. Growing up in Philadelphia, having also lived in New York and traveled a lot, Boston, Philly, New York, up and down. In those cities, as big as they are, they feel kind of a warm hometown kind of feel. Those narrower streets. You walk downtown Philly, you kind of, a lot of times you'll see somebody or knew or a friend or whatever. And it just seems like a warm community oriented. Here in LA, it is so spread out and so vast. There's no community orientation whatsoever. So when you get out here, you're in like this big, kind of broad plane, not in terms of airplane, but a flat kind of a plane, that you have to create your life in your community, and it ain't going to come to you. You've got to go out and create it. And being from Philadelphia, I found that Philadelphia was, it's, you know, just a smaller town in a way. You get that warm kind of small town, you know. You know, everybody's kind of like, hey, Rocky, you know, here.
I know all about that, man. Yeah. I can definitely attest to that Philly camaraderie, man. Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Andy.
Yes.
Sorry, Scott. Yes. I think C1 wants to ask a question.
Well, he's not allowed to. No, go ahead, C1.
Oh, okay.
Yes, C1.
What's going on, Andrew and the Hunt Tickers? I just wanted to say salute. I didn't really have a question to ask you guys, but I wanted to say salute because I've been online. I've been watching all you guys' progress and everything with the arrangement. Big up to you guys. And I actually had the chance, I had the pleasure of being on one of you guys' sets in Philadelphia with, I think it was, well, Jennifer Kay was there that day.
And yeah.
I think Eric Roberts was on set, and you guys were somewhere in West Philly, and I was with you guys for that day. So I'm glad you
man,
what'd you say?
No, I was just thank you, man. I appreciate that. I remember that day. Jennifer Kay, man, she's great.
Some pictures for you guys.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. Yes. Yeah, well, you know, thank you for that too. Thanks for being there, and I appreciate you know the props, man. It's nice to kind of make it here at this point, you know. So I really appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yep, and I wanted to say just congratulations because I see it hitting the film festivals and everything. So that's good to see. Like, especially I didn't see where it all started, but I was there and witnessed some of the process, and then just from, like I said, from the social media, I was watching it grow, watching the project through you guys' Instagram and Jennifer's Instagram and stuff like that. And, you know, hats off to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
For sure.
It's amazing.
You got to get out. Well, let me know. You know, we'll stay in touch for sure, and we're going to be watching what you do and you know, following the film, The Arrangement. Look it up on the internet. The Arrangement. Directed
actually,
by
Make the Arrangement
Jake.
To watch The Arrangement.
Make the Arrangement to watch The Arrangement. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll be watching the film and watching what you do. And we'll stay in touch. You know, I'd love to get you out here to L.A. And maybe if you get out here, you'll come into our studios and we can do a show live and maybe get some other guests here. But it would be great to have you to come out here. And I think you also being from the same neck of the woods where I'm from, once you land out here, there is no going back. I mean, it's just, you know, it's interesting. I've met people here in L.A. who've never been further east than Nevada. And I tell them, you know, if you go to Philadelphia or, you know, being from here your whole life, once you go to Boston's my favorite city, I think in Seattle, Boston, Philly, New York, you probably won't come back here. You know, it's so distinctly different, you know, and if you've been here your whole life to go to a city where they're shouting Rocky and the Eagles, you might say, this is pretty cool.
Spot on, man. No, and I'd love to, though. That'd be wonderful, man. I would love to stay in touch for sure. And definitely, you know, see LA sooner than later. And, you know, definitely the studio with you guys, Andy and Amanda, everybody, that'd be awesome.
It would be really cool.
I'm coming to Philly, and at the end of April, we'll be doing a show. And you know, Cornell, who's our coordinator and put the show together, he is in Delaware, just to the south of you there. And we have never met. You know, 250-some-odd episodes of the Andy and Amanda show, you know, heard around the world. None of us have ever met. Amanda and I have never met. And Cornell and I...
We haven't.
No, but I've always asked Amanda, you know, questions, you know, like...
to attain your epic ass, can you describe your exercise regime?
Oh,
hire people.
God.
They do a website. Yeah. It costs me $3.
Yeah, see?
You see what I have to put up with, Jake.
Yes, see?
Catastrophe.
Yes. Yes. It's you know,
God.
I'll tell you. But it would be great to get you to come on out here and you know, be part of the show live, and maybe, you never know, I'm coming to Philly to meet Cornell for the first time at the end of April. Hey, Cornell, are you with us?
Yes, I'm still here. It's a great show. Hey, guys.
Hey, C1, I look forward to meeting you too. C1's been a great guest. C1 has been a guest on the show before the election, and we battle it out. We have different political ideologies, and he's wonderful. He's a good friend of the show, and he's been calling in and love when C1 gets on the phone and we speak our minds, and it's always been a real fun time. And of course, he's a filmmaker himself, a video production person. I guess a filmmaker is one that writes the film, you know. C1, you're more on the production end, right? The film that running the cameras.
I'm more on the production side, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make sure I had that right.
That's awesome.
And C1, hopefully we'll get to meet. We've spoken a lot on the show, and we've talked about different things and the business, and hopefully my visit to Philadelphia towards the end of April, we'll be able to meet as well. And Cornell, we should do a live show, you know. We should do the show where you and I meet for the very first time and broadcast it live.
Definitely. I'm down. I'm definitely down.
That's cool.
Hey, when we meet, do we get to shake hands or do we got a fist bump?
We get to shake hands, man. We get to wait, you know, good question. I think
do we get to shake hands?
We get to shake hands. Hell yeah.
Okay.
We're shaking hands.
Andy, I'm flying to Hollywood with never coming back.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You know what? Yeah. You know, Amanda, how do you put up with this?
And I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of feel like the mother in all of this. Like, you know, looking at you boys.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah.
Oh.
But I'll tell you,
I'd rather enjoy it myself.
I do.
It's fun. It's fun being around you boys. For anybody listening, we have a lot of fun on this show. We really do. And it's very, the boys like to surprise me with little things. You know, they keep me on my toes and I love it. I adore it. I adore you.
Yes. Amanda's, you know, my internet girlfriend, you know, we've never met.
You said we were married. What's going on?
Oh, we're married. Ooh. I'm sorry. You're my internet wife. My internet wife.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta say, guys, it's crazy to me that you guys have never met in person, because you guys all seem to have such a great, like, on-air chemistry here, man. Really, it's a great show.
Thank you.
You know, I gotta tell you, we appreciate that. We have, like, followers and listeners, like, all over the world. You know, obviously, because our international audience is gaining in listenership, our numbers and the gross numbers of listeners and followers in the United States goes down as our international audience goes up. You know, the number of United States followers goes down a little bit. I think at one time, 85% of our audience was right here in the United States. Now it's 78% with a very large audience in Mexico and UK and Italy and Germany and France and, you know, just all over. What we want to do with this show, just so everybody knows, and you never know who's listening. I know some people who are listening, and this is for you. There's some people that I know who are listening. This is for you. Okay, ready? Okay, ready? Okay. What was I going to say?
And I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
Yeah. I'm thinking, oh, yeah. We yeah. I wanted to say.
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
Yes. But someday I will. I promised. No, what I wanted to say was that we're looking to get the show on Sirius XM or possibly on a syndicated FM radio network, and stand by for that, folks. But right now we're on the internet. We're enjoying our life here. Of course, we get away with a lot more here than we could on radio. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, you know what I mean, Amanda? You know what I mean? Amanda knows what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Uh-oh.
Yes. You know, but we always I don't know. But I'm glad. Cornell, what do you think?
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
No, I'm asking Cornell.
I definitely do.
What's that?
Yeah.
You should ask China. China, yeah. What's that?
They're so knowledgeable people.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But anyway, so I was going to talk about a couple of things here, and I want to get into it. I might actually have to dive into this is a lot of fun. This is always a lot of fun. But I want to talk about as a matter of fact, I want to talk seriously, really, about Joe Biden's, I guess you want to call it speech or announcement after the relief bill was passed. And do you guys know, just excluding Amanda, do you know we're each getting $1,400? Does everybody know
when?
That? When? Yeah, tell me. When?
When?
Joe Biden, he can.
I love it. She won. We love you.
Yeah. I can't understand what he's saying. I listen and I can't understand what he's saying. I need some. Can somebody translate for me, please?
Yes. What he said was. What did he say? What did he say? What he said was.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Yes.
I said that. What did he say? He said that the black and Hispanic people don't know how to use the internet or something like that. Like they don't have good computers.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's what he said. That was. I mean, that's one of the things I remember him saying.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. The but what we're going to do is I've got this is such a great thing for the whole country what's going to happen here, and I don't know anything about this. I got to look into this, but because this affects me personally, even though I was able to skate by the big student debt because my girl's got great scholarship rides from the colleges. You know, pat on the back, girls, pat on the back, Andy. Anyway, but there's still some students. So, yeah. Oh my God, can we talk? But there's still some student loan that I'm going to have my kids pay it. I'm going to pay it, but it's very minimal. But I believe even with it being minimal, the first $10,000 of a student loan is being erased. So that even lower, makes it even more minimal. And I don't know if that is part of the bill or not, but I was going to pay the whole student loan back, just bam, write the check. And then, I told him, hey, I'm going to pay your student loan. I'm like, hey, thanks, Dad. I'm just going to pay it. Don't worry about it. Happy, whatever. And then I saw that, wait a minute. First of all, you can delay your student loan payments. Folks, for those who are in a similar position to me who are listening, you don't have to pay any student loan with no interest due yet until October. So I held off on writing that check. And then the next thing I hear is the first $10,000 of which you can eliminate. So I wonder, for those of you who did write that check, do you get that $10,000 back now? Is that refunded to you? We got to look into that, because there are people in my shoes who are parents who have kids in college who this is important, and it's important to me, and I want to dive into it a little bit further, and we'll investigate that. But and gladly so. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Every once in a while, I talk about something that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
I promised you nothing.
Yes. But anyway, so we want to thank Jake. Thanks for joining us. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
C1, how you been, man?
Another day in paradise.
Aw. I like to hear that.
You know? 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, 1 nose. I'm good. How about you guys?
Love it. Yeah, doing good. Gratitude
and everything. Watch this. I got to say this, because I was listening. I was listening to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel good. I'm footloose and fancy free, and guess no vaccine. So something's wrong with me. Something is wrong with me. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I can't. It's not working on me. I can't see myself running to let anybody poke me with anything, and I feel fine.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You know, I was
I haven't
I was not
seen anybody
get...
even on my street sick. Nothing.
Yeah, I was. I have not had the same experience. I've seen. As a matter of fact, I've lost four now. Three friends and one person who I knew of, who I didn't know was a friend, but directly from COVID. But so I've had a different experience. And in my neighborhood here, I have seen people who have been affected. So my experience in life is a little different than yours, but that's okay. You know, it's okay. But what
I've been seeing Fauci. Have you guys been seeing Fauci flip flop? Like,
one minute he has it, next minute he doesn't. He could do this. You can get the vaccine. Then you got to wear the mask. It's like, I don't know. I'm just my common sense. Like the same way I get in a car and drive, and if I see a pothole, I steer out the way. I didn't see anything that made me steer out the way, or I don't know what the whole world saw that I'm missing.
Okay.
I was hesitant. As a matter of fact, Amanda and I talked about this extensively early on, and with other people I know too, you know, off the air. I was not going to get a vaccine. I was like, when this thing first came out, I said, no. You know, you read the way it works,
same,
and it doesn't. And Amanda and I talked a lot about this. You know, we were saying, I'm not getting this vaccine. You know, I'll hang out. I'll be safe. I'll be whatever. Just live the life I'm living, and I'll wait a year or two or three or maybe never, and not get this thing. And then, you know, time moves on, and I've got family in the medical profession and in the science world, you know, direct, you know, I know people who are involved in this hands-on, and learned more about the vaccine and learned more about how it works and what it is. And we've talked about it extensively on the show a while back, about the properties of it, what it does physiologically and biologically and how it works and how it's different than any vaccine that's ever been known to man. That didn't happen in a year, by the way. It started 17 years ago. There's no way we could have developed a vaccine in a year. But anyway, I got both, and I had zero reactions, none. I'm a tiny bit of a sore arm. I'm fine, whatever. I'm good. You know, my mom just got her vaccine. She's 91. No reaction whatsoever. And what I've heard was, see, this is funny because I heard, well, you might get headaches and nausea and this and that and crampy and whatever, and it only lasts a day, then it goes away, and that means it's working. Well, for me, I didn't get a damn thing. And I'm like, does that mean it's – that means it's not working. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, we're running out of time, and I wanted to go into Wednesday. We'll pick this up because there's definitely some news clips I want to play and things I want to talk about. We'll get into it Wednesday that we didn't get to do this show. I want to thank both Jake and Andrew Hunziker, producers, directors, actors of the movie The Arrangement. Thank you so much for being our guests on this show. C1, you're welcome anytime, man. Always a pleasure having you on. And maybe we'll meet back in Philly when I get there with the Cornell. That would be great to meet you, man, and say hi and grab a beer. It would be great to do. Amanda, take us home.
Okay. On behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Matt, in the UK, thank you to Cornell, our coordinator, for joining us. Always a pleasure, as always. Thank you, C1, and thank you, our guests, for joining us also. And thank you, listeners, for sticking around with this craziness, and we love having you. So stick around for the next show.
Take care, folks. All the best. See you next time.
Bye.